Well, today we are starting a new sermon series. Yay! Actually, we are. I've been like, where do we go next, Lord? And I just really felt like I want to go into a series on the armor of God. Just talking about the armor of God. How many of you know you're in a battle already? You already know you're in a battle. Yeah. And if you don't know that, hey, I got good news. Not that you're in a battle, but that you're in a battle that Jesus wants you to win. How's that? And that he's given you everything that you need to win that spiritual battle. So over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at this together, talking about the armor of God and what God wants to do in our lives. And we're going to go to Ephesians this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. You know, if you were to go to my house today and look at my closet, you'd find that I've got a number of hats. I've got some, like, baseball caps, you know, hats that I collected as a souvenir somewhere along the way. You find a cowboy hat or two in there. But one of the things that you will not find is you will not find a military helmet. You know, no hard military helmet in my closet. If you look at the floor, it's cluttered in shoes. I'm sorry. My wife keeps telling me to clean it up, but any other tennis shoes and casual shoes and dress shoes and boots, but you won't find any combat boots if you looked into my closet today. I actually have a few guns in my house. Yay for the pro-gun owners in the house, right, you know? 22 rifle that for shooting just for fun, you know, target practice. Got a 243 that I've killed a few deer with, and shotgun that I've knocked a few rabbits down with. You know, don't get mad at me or anything like that. But what I don't have any automatic weapons, no assault rifles, no M16s. I don't have anything fitted with a bayonet. I'm not ready to go into battle. In my driveway today, you'll find a Chevy truck and a 15-year-old Corolla. But you won't find a tank, an armored vehicle, you know, no helicopter pad, you know, with helicopters, you know. And the obvious answer to the why question, why I don't have those things, is because I'm not in the military. I'm not in a battle. Now, I want our military to have those things. I want them to have the best. I want them to have the very best Kevlar, you know, suit, whatever they can to protect themselves. I want them to, when they go out and they're fighting for my freedom and your freedom and our liberty so that we can assemble like this, I want them to have the very best. But I don't need those because nobody's launching hand grenades into my backyard. And every once in a while, a beer can may show up on this, you know, the street. You know, not from us, I promise you. It's not from our party. It was from the neighbor's party. But nobody's launching hand grenades our way. So I don't need all of those kind of things that a military person needs. And I'm saying that because we're going to be talking about the armor of God this morning. And I think the same thing can be applied spiritually. And that is, if you're here today and you're living in a place of relationship with God to where you don't ever encounter the devil, where you never have to deal with temptation, you never struggle with pride or lust or depression or anger or fear. You don't, that just doesn't even ever happen in your life. If you're here and you just, I mean, you've always got it together and you don't even understand what I'm trying to describe it. Like Christians actually have to sometimes fight battles and struggle in their spiritual walk with the Lord. I don't even, if that describes you, you're probably going to be bored with my message. But if you would say, hey, Pastor Tommy, I can relate to those things. Yeah, I still do struggle. Yeah, I recognize that I am still in a battle. The enemy still tempts me. And sometimes it's like two steps forward and one step back. And that's really, I'm just being real and honest. And yeah, I know that I am in a battle. If that's where you are, then you might find this series is going to be helpful. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And let's read the word together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, now therefore is always an important word in the scripture. Whenever you see the word therefore, you need to ask yourself, why is it, what is it there for? And it's there to tell us that things are about to change. There's something true that you've just been told, and now, therefore, because that is true, this is what you need to know. This is what you need to understand. This is how you need to act. And what he's talked about up to this point is the fact that we're in a battle. It's a real battle. I mean, spiritual forces, evil, darkness, all kinds of wickedness in high places, terrible things that we're in a battle against. And because that is true, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We are in a battle. And you don't have to see flesh and blood guns and grenades. And you don't even have to see real live demons. Though I believe that they exist, the Bible describes them. You don't have to actually have some kind of encounter with them to know that it's real and it's a warfare. I mean, all you got to do is just turn on your news, read a newspaper. I mean, it's everywhere. The evil, the wickedness, the stuff that's going on in the world that we're living in. I mean, you know, you might read about something that happens in another country where maybe a church is locked up with all the members inside and it's set on fire. Because that church is a threat to the demonic forces that are there in that region. And the enemy's trying to take them out. But it's not just that kind of obvious thing that lets us know. I mean, we see all kinds of signs of the evil and the wickedness of the world that we're living in. Now, some of the things I'm going to talk about today, I'm not going to be very woke, okay? So I'm just going to warn you. I'm not going to try to be really politically correct. So I'm just going to warn you. So if you're really easily offended and you think that you want to get, you know, you don't want to get offended today, I mean, maybe I ought to give you a chance to just exit right now. But I'm going to talk about some real stuff, okay? And for those of you who stay, then we're all on the same page together. Now listen, I want to be really careful with what I say. I don't want to be mean, and that's not my intention. But has somebody that loved you ever told you that you had bad breath? You know? And you don't really want to hear that you got bad breath, but you don't want to go through life breathing on people and they don't tell you you got bad breath, right? So my name's Tommy. I'm your friend. And we live in a world that's got bad breath. Okay? And I'm just telling you that. I'm just being honest with you today. And some of the things that we see, these signs of the warfare that we're in, I mean, for an example, is when you see men dressed as women coming to our elementary schools at story time to read to our most vulnerable young minds that are not formed well enough to understand right from wrong yet, and the world's system, the satanic hiss is in that push to put these individuals in front of our children. I told you I'm not going to be woke today. In order to try to destroy them. We're in a battle, folks. We're in a battle. And I could go through all kinds of other issues that we're facing. Where the world is doing all that it can to press its agenda and to advance its agenda. Now listen, We need to acknowledge where we are. And I'm not saying that we need to get mean with people. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to be hard to get along with by any means. But I want to tell the truth. And the first of the armor of God, first piece is the belt of truth. And I think that it's important. In fact, probably it's listed first because it's the most important of all of the pieces. In fact, you really can't even partake of the other element. You really can't use the other pieces of armor if you're not founded in the truth. I mean, you're not going to have a helmet of salvation if you don't know the truth that you need to be saved. You're not going to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace if you don't know the truth that the world is lost, that people are dying and going to hell, and they need to hear the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't know the truth, you're not going to be involved in the use of the other. You're not going to have faith to stand against the wiles of the enemy if you don't know the truth of what God's word provides for you. We need to know the truth. That's the beginning point of all of the other pieces of the armor of God. In the days of the Roman soldiers, they wore an outer garment, a tunic. It was kind of like a poncho. It was useful in a lot of ways, but it wasn't really the best thing when they got into hand-to-hand combat. And so when the Roman soldiers knew that they were about to engage in warfare, they would tuck their tunic into their belt. They'd pull it up and tuck it in so it doesn't get in the way of their movement, of their hands and their feet, and they can fight and be effective in that. And that's kind of the picture that Paul is describing when he begins to talk about the armor of God. And he says, you need to start off by getting the truth wrapped in tight around the core of who you are. You need to be walking in the truth, living by the truth. You see, Satan is a liar. Jesus said about him that he's the father of lies, that the truth is not in him. So if you hear anything that Satan is saying, you can know that it's a lie. It's not true. The opposite, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. Anything that contradicts what Jesus says is not true. Now, I know that we're living in this day where we want to have fluid truth, kind of like fluid gender. Told you I'm not going to be PC, politically correct here. You know, we're living in a day where you're told that you can be any gender you want to be on any given day of the week. You can change your mind tomorrow if you want to. That's fine. Got nothing to do with your chromosomes or the way that God created you. And people want to think that truth is that way too. It's fluid. It changes. Whatever you want it to be, it can be. This is who I am today, and this is what I believe today. And oh, that's your truth, and this is my truth. No. Nobody has a monopoly on the truth except for he who is the truth. It's not your truth. It's not my truth. It's his truth. And anything that's not his truth is not the truth. We need to get that. We need to understand that. Jesus is described as being full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. I love that combination because it's exactly what we want to be. We want to be full of grace and truth. You know, if you lean too hard to the one side and it's just all about truth, you could be hard and mean-spirited and ugly. You might be right, but be wrong in your spirit in how you're right. And I don't want to be that way. Jesus wasn't that way. He didn't offend people. I mean, yeah, you can get offended by the truth. The truth is the truth, and if you don't like it, I mean, you can choose to be offended, but Jesus didn't go around intentionally offending people. He loved people. In fact, it's amazing how much that sinners loved him. The world, the non-spiritual people in Jesus' day loved Jesus. He hung out with them. I mean, he did. To the point that the religious people criticized Jesus because he spent so much time with these unspiritual people. You know, he wasn't offensive, but he told the truth. He told the truth. He loved them enough to tell them the truth. He loved them enough to say, hey, I love you, brother, your breath. Here's the mint. He loved them. You know, we are in a place right now where we're looking for a candidate to be our next youth pastor. And so I've been talking with different people, interviewing them, praying for the Lord to give us the right next person. And in that conversation, one of the things that has come up is what is my philosophy? What is it that I want to see out of the youth group? What's the direction that I'd like to see a youth pastor take it? And what I say is, I want us to be socially relevant and biblically accurate when we're talking to our youth. I want us to be socially relevant and biblically accurate. Our youth are facing a lot of lies today. A lot of lies. This warfare that we're in. It is amazing how that the guns are aimed at our youth. They're aimed at the next generation. If we can get their minds while they're young, if we can convince them of things that aren't true and make them think that it is true right now while they're young. So our kids are coming into the youth group, and they're dealing with real life stuff. And I want our youth pastor to deal with the socially relevant, real life stuff that they're facing. We're not pushing it off in the closet. Oh, you've got friends that are struggling with gender identity issues. Well, we're not going to talk about that in our youth group. No. We are going to talk about that. We need to talk about that. We need to be socially relevant, but we need to be biblically accurate. We're going to talk about these issues, but we're going to find out, what does God's word say about it? What is the truth? Not what is the television telling you, not what the movies are telling you, not what social media is telling you, not what the news is telling you, not what the activists are telling you, but what is the truth? What does God's word say? Well, you know, spoiler alert, I don't want that to just be true of our youth department. I want it to be true of all of us, our whole church, that we are socially relevant. We're addressing the real issues. We're not ignoring the elephants in the room. We're talking about the real stuff, but we're talking about it in truth. And then there's this grace and truth element, where we're speaking the truth in love. You don't have to be mean-spirited and ugly to say the truth to somebody. You can actually say things that people don't want to hear, but you can say it with the Spirit of Christ in you in a way that maybe it's not what they wanted to hear, but they know it's the truth, and they know you love them, and they know that you care about them. And as a church, we've got to make sure that as we're speaking the truth, as we're girding ourselves up with the truth, as we're living the truth, then we're doing it in a loving way. We're really caring about people. We've got to know the truth, because if you don't know the truth, you're going to believe what? You're going to believe the lie. Now, listen, when we're talking about girding ourselves up with the truth, let me make sure I explain what I'm talking about here. I'm not just limiting this to your personal language and vocabulary. I'm not just talking about when you're having a conversation with a police officer who just pulled you over and he says, do you know how fast you were going? And you know exactly how fast you were going. And you say, no, sir, I don't know, officer. I'm not talking about that truth. That's an important truth. You need to be living in the truth. You know, when somebody says, where have you been? You need to be able to say, this is where I've been, and tell them the truth. You need to, truth should be who we are. But this is a bigger truth. I'm not just talking about just telling the truth versus telling a lie. I'm talking about believing the truth versus believing the lie. Because if you don't believe the truth, if you don't know the truth, you're going to believe the lie. You're going to get caught up in the lie. For instance, if you don't know what the Bible says, what the truth is, where the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you don't know that truth, when you hear the evolutionists and those with the Darwinian theories, you're going to believe their lie and every lie that follows after the first lie. How many of you know that there's never just one lie? That every lie gets followed up with another one and another one and another one and another one. And the lie starts, there is no God. We all evolved from some spatial whatever mass of something or the other. By the way, scientists haven't figured that out yet. And even Darwin himself says, if we haven't figured this out here pretty soon, then you can discard my theory. Well, we haven't figured it out yet, but some people still haven't discarded his theory. But see, if you believe that, then you believe there is no God. Therefore, there is no absolute right and wrong. Therefore, there is no heaven or hell. And we're just living this life, and we're just all doing the best that we can. And at that point, my truth and your truth, and there is no real truth, right? See, it's the lie that just keeps perpetuating. And if you believe the one, you'll just keep believing the other. If you don't know the truth, you'll not know that the Bible says that we were made in the image of God. That means that from our very being, from who we were created, we have value in us, made in the image of God. That's value whether you're 80 years old or 20 years old, or whether you're 8 weeks old still in your mother's womb. You've been made in the image of God, and therefore you have value. And if you don't know that truth, then you'll say, yeah, we can just pull the plug on that one and don't worry about it. And oh, yeah, the lies about a woman's body, we'll just fall right into line and believe all that and think it's just a matter of choice. And anybody ought to be able to marry anybody that they want to marry. Man marry a woman, a man marry a man, woman marry a woman. I'm not sure what the next combination is going to be. Somebody marrying their TV set. I'm not sure. But it's the direction that the lies... I warned you, not PC correct, and this is not, you know, so... Because this is the truth. And we need to know the truth and stand up for the truth and not be deceived by the lies of the enemy, because he just takes us down that rabbit hole. Little by little by little by little. It's amazing how we're bombarded in the spiritual warfare. My wife and I, it's amazing how many times we'll be sitting there watching what we thought was just an innocent TV show. And boom. You know, you're three episodes in, you kind of know the characters, you're kind of figuring out the plot, and you're interested. And then boom. There's this bedroom scene with two men kissing, or, you know, there's this whatever else is going on. You know, it's just, you know, just junk and ungodliness, and you're just in there going, are we going to sit here and keep watching this? Beep. Nope. Guess not. Let's see if we can find gun smoke. Hey, thank God for DVDs. You can record gun smoke, and you can watch it later. Your loins girt about with the belt of truth. Because if you don't know the truth, you're going to believe the lie. But if you know the truth will set us free. There's a warfare. There's a bounty on your soul. The enemy wants you. And he doesn't play fair. He doesn't play nice. He's after you. Listen, it's worse than he's after you. He's after your marriage. He's after your children. He's after your grandchildren. So what are we going to do? We just going to turn the TV back on, cross our legs, and, you know, just pretend like nothing's happening? Or are we going to live like we know the truth? And as the body of Christ, engage our world with the truth in love, grace, and truth. Would you stand with me this morning? Have you got those statements at the end of my message that you can put up on the screens here? Are they there? I don't know if they got them or not, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to repeat these things after me. Listen, this truth thing is really, really important. It's the beginning. It's the foundation. If we don't get that right, we're not going to get the rest of it right. We're just not going to get the rest of it right. And let me just, thank you, Lord, for reminding me. It's not just the assault of the world and the world system that's against us corporately. But some of the truth that you need to know is a reversal of the lies that the enemy's been telling you individually. Because he'll use that just as much as he'll use the world system. He'll look at you as an individual and he'll tell you, nobody loves me. Maybe there's some people in this room that the enemy's told you that lie long enough, you began to believe it. They'll try to tell you you're not worth anything. It's just another one of those lies that the enemy wants to try to tell us and capture us in that lie and destroy us. Try to tell you you're dumb, that you don't have the ability to do things, that you're never going to succeed, that you're a failure. I'm trying to tell you you're a lousy mom or a lousy dad. See, there's all kinds of lies. Just lie after lie after lie. I'm trying to tell you life's not worth living. Just lie after lie so that he can destroy you. The Word of God tells us we're in a battle. And the first thing that we need to do is get rid of those lies and put on this belt of truth. So I want you to just say these statements with me. This morning, I want you to make it a declaration. I don't want you to just read the words that are on the screen. I want you to speak this down into your spirit, man. Come on, let's say these things with me. Number one, I will not listen to Satan's lies. Number two, I will not believe Satan's lies. Number three, I will not repeat Satan's lies. Number four, I will not live a lie. Number five, I will put on the truth, and the truth will make me free. Amen. Yes. And so, Father, Lord, those are our declarations today. We know that we're in a battle, but we know that you've given us everything that we're going to need to succeed. And it starts with the truth. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Bible that we've been given that is the truth. And Lord, help us to walk by the principles of your Word and not to turn to the right or turn to the left. Help us not to try to change your Word or water it down or twist it around to say what we wanted to say. But Lord, help us to apply the truth of your Word to every aspect to our life, to our homes, to our marriage, to our children, to our jobs, to our relationships with other people, to how we treat our neighbors, to how we live as citizens in this nation. Help us, Lord, to live by the truth. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you recognize that you've been a victim of the lies of the enemy, and those lies have brought death and destruction your direction, and you've maybe bought into the lie that there is no God, or maybe that he could never really love you, or that you've been too bad to be saved, I just want to break those lies off of you today. If you're here today and you know that the next step that you need to make to get your life on track is to come home to Jesus, to surrender your life to him, to make him your Lord and your Savior, Nicodemus was a religious man. He comes to Jesus at night trying to get the answers, and Jesus says, you must be born again. That's the truth. That's the truth. The enemy, maybe you've bought into the lies that one religion is just as good as the other, and somehow we're all going to make it to heaven when we die. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. If you're here today and you need to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, make him your personal Lord and Savior. It's a decision that you've never made before, but you're ready to make that decision today. I want you to just raise your hand because I want to pray with you. I want to just pray with you. If you've never made the decision to make Jesus Lord and Savior, would you just raise your hand? Thank you. I see the hand. Is there another? Is there another? Maybe there's some people in this room. Let me speak to another group of people. You once knew Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You once were walking in the truth. Somehow you began to believe one lie after another until you got off track. And you're so far away from God today that you're not really sure of your own salvation anymore. You want to be sure. You want to make it right with God today. You want to get back on track. You want to come back home to Jesus. If that describes you this morning, and you'd like me to pray with you, would you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you and welcome you back to the center of the will of God for your life, back into the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Father, Lord, you've seen the hands that have been lifted, and Lord, today I pray that each one would find their way home to you. Lord, back into that centered place where you are really the Lord and the Savior of their life. Lord, where the lies of this world and the world systems and the enemy are pushed away, and they know for sure, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I love Jesus with all of my heart. Lord, wash, cleanse, forgive of all sin. Help us to live our lives in a way that brings honor and glory to you. Help us to, Lord, not just be a Christian by name, but to be a true Christ follower in the way we live out our lives. Thank you, Lord. Just a moment, we're going to close this service. I want to ask the prayer team, if you will, to come and join me here at the front. If you're here today and you're a victim of the lies of the enemy and you want to get some things squared away and right, we'd love to pray with you. If you came today and you're broken in your mental, and the enemy's just been fighting against you, and you're just beaten down, if your marriage is in trouble, your kids are going the wrong way, and you just want somebody to pray with you. If physically in your body, you're like, I need healing. If you need anything at all, our prayer team is here ready to stand with you and pray for you. And we'd love to do that. If you don't make your way down to the front this morning, we hope we'll see you again next week here at Spirit Life Church. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you that you've given us the armor of God that we can be successful in this spiritual battle that we find ourselves caught up in. Lord, help us to know the truth, to walk out the truth, to live the truth, be set free by the truth. Lord, I pray that every lie of the enemy would be exposed in our lives. And Lord, that we would find ourselves becoming more and more like Jesus. Help us, God, to stand firm for the truth in a world that really doesn't want us to, a world that wants us to back down and bow down and cave in and just say everything's okay. And Lord, we know we can't do that, but Lord, we don't want to be obnoxious. We don't want to be ugly-spirited, mean-spirited in any way. Lord, we want to be like you, full of grace and truth, speaking the truth in love. So thank you, Lord, for your help in this matter. Help us to walk in the truth this week. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.